The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm here Blue Monday. Got to work.
It's actually a beautiful Monday. Trump is president. I wish he'd stop already. My show started. Hey, Sean, the Savage Nation is on. Say goodnight and goodbye to the press so they'll listen to me and turn the TV off. Well, there's a lot of things to talk about, as you well know. We did the inauguration because it happened while we were on the air, right? We talked about it. I went on the air that day and told you what I thought. There's no reason to relive that. Would it be a complete day had I not discussed the Women's March? Can anyone listening to this show tell me what they were protesting? Because I've been scratching my head for 2 days. I saw the old hag, Madonna, who was old before she was young, said, I've thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House. Why she is not in prison, I don't know. If I ever said that while Obama was president, the Secret Service would have had me in handcuffs and my face pressed into the cement. Ashley Judd, some failed actress whose better days are way behind her, said Hitler has been reborn in Trump. Okay, so there's a lot of malcontent, sourpuss women out there, along with party girls who just wanted to have a good time. I'll talk about that for sure. But what you don't know is that George Soros, who in my mind is one of the most evil people on the planet, has been found to have funded over 50 of the protest groups, including, wait a minute, listen to me carefully. Do you know who organized this march? Do you know what was really behind it? You think it was about abortion and about women? You'd be mistaken if you came to that conclusion. Do you know who the chief organizer of this women's march was? Do you know? No, you don't know. You think you know. Women's March organizer has family ties to Hamas and recently met former Hamas financier. Now, I realize most of you are Jew haters. Even if you're Jewish, you hate yourself because you hate Israel, therefore you hate your own background. And you've eschewed any connection to God and religion. But be very careful because you are the useful idiots of the radical Islamist front groups in America. But okay, keep on marching. It's America. Majority of 230 protesters arrested on Inauguration Day will face 10 years in prison and $25,000 fine. I'd love to see that. Wouldn't you love to see consequences for the vermin who broke glass and attacked police? Wouldn't you love to see them go to jail for 10 years? You know, most of them are in denial. There's a great video of a woman being kicked off a plane for berating a Trump supporter. I wish to God the sound was better. Now, you know the left wing are all violent fascists. You know that. You know that they use the word peace in order to use hate against you. But a man named Scott Koteski boarded a flight from Baltimore to Seattle on Saturday after the march, the so-called Women's March. He had no idea that the elderly, skinny woman with glasses sitting next to him would soon berate him in an incoherent and unhinged rant. Unfortunately for the vicious feminist, it was all captured on a video that went viral. So the woman starts in by screaming at him, you pretend you have the moral high ground, but if you put that man's finger on the nuclear button, what do you think? The so-called woman said after a flight attendant went to get security. Then she said to the, now remember, a fellow passenger, all she had asked him was, did you come here to celebrate or to protest? And he said, I celebrated, I voted for Trump. Well, she went crazy. Now, by the way, this happened to me in a restaurant the other day. I'll tell you about that later. I went into a bar in a restaurant to have a drink, and there was a loudmouthed man extolling the protest march as well. I couldn't take it. I was boiling mad inside because he thought that it was the old days. He thought Obama was still president. He's pretending that there was no election. He made believe we didn't exist. I did what I never do as a public figure. I never engage with strangers, never. Unfortunately, I did. And I yelled out loudly in the bar, hey, you lost, we won, get used to it. You're only half the country, we're the other half. Just get used to us. Well, the bartender, a young guy, said, well, the man is only expressing his opinion. I said, so am I. So am I. I'll have a vodka, please, with soda. So that was the end of that. Believe me, they're out of control. They still think that they can overturn the election. They are all in denial. They're pretending that we don't exist. They're still making believe that the deplorables are nothing but vermin in flyover country. But let me tell you something. We won, and there are more of us than you could imagine, and you're going to hear us speaking out against you for the first time in your sick left-wing lives. Everywhere you go, we're going to get in your face now. So she goes on, this creature. She says to the man next to her, "That man you voted for doesn't believe in climate change," she said, referring to President Trump, and then using air quotes to frame the word climate change. And she says, "Believe. Do you believe in gravity? Do you know gravity is just a theory?" Well, eventually an airline staffer comes over and says to the woman she'd have to be removed from the plane. And then she says, "No, I paid for the seat and I'm sitting in it." "He's in my space," she says. Are you listening to this Marin County statement? The man she was berating, she says to the stewardess, "He's in my space." How many times have you heard that in your sick little city of New York? You're in their space? No, they belong in space. So then she refuses to leave when the stewardess says she's going to get up. Then she switches gears to a sob story. "I'm going home now. My mother-in-law, his mother died." That's the husband that she's with, the silent husband. "I'm going home now. There's no way I'm getting off this plane. My husband lost his mother. Have some respect." But the sob story doesn't get anywhere with the airline stewardess. Black guy is a steward, and he says, "I'm terribly sorry for that, but that does not give you the right to treat people the way you've been treating them." This is on an airplane. Do you understand what went on? The world has changed. The world has been pulled out from under their feet. They don't know what to do with it. As she is escorted the plane by police, a video shows police taking her off the plane and people on the airplane cheering and chanting, "USA, USA, USA." The deplorables are finally cheering. Are you listening? Now, this is amazing. The man who was assaulted said the woman was even more discourteous to him before the cameras began rolling. He said the entire incident was touched off when she asked him if he was here in town to cheer or protest. The man simply said he was merely in town to celebrate democracy. "Well," she says to him, "and I'm entitled to get drunk and puke in your lap," said the wonderful, peaceful feminist. You hear this? You know underneath the surface what they are? They're Nazis! These are the brown shirts of Hitler! They come in all stripes and all sexes! And all colors! "I'm entitled to get drunk and puke in your lap," the woman said. "I'm gonna throw up right in your lap. You make me sick," she says to the passenger next to her. "Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't you dare even put your arm on that rest. You disgust me," said the peaceful woman protester. "You should be ashamed of yourself. You put a maniac's finger on the button. You're a bigot. You should get off this plane." Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Are you hearing what's going on? As the lady, so-called lady, the vermin, was removed, the man writes who was attacked, "I was surrounded by blacks, Latinos, Asians, and whites, all who had chimed in asking her to be removed and who had defended me," he wrote on Facebook. "I was touched and moved, knowing later that not all these people were Trump supporters. The black man who took the seat next to me was a registered Democrat, and he and I had a very good discussion about the beauty of free speech and coming together when people insult and commit acts of violence just for having differing views. It was a great demonstration of America and its people coming together and standing up for one another." What I'd like to do is play this for a minute. It's very important that you try to hear it. If it's not audible, we'll cut it off. I'm talking about a wonderful video. Now, I've seen this woman, this type of woman, all over the Bay Area. This is the type that you see in San Francisco and Marin County. The self-righteous good liberal. She's tall. She's thin. She's got clipped hair. You get it? Clipped hair, mean face with glasses. The thin granny glasses types. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you met the type in New York? Have you met the type in Dallas? Have you met the type in Chicago? Have you met the type in Seattle? Have you met the type in all points around America? The good liberal woman? Underneath the surface is a fascist who has used her liberalism as a weapon, as a masquerade. So here it is, woman kicked off plane for berating Trump supporter. Let's see if we can hear it.
"You pretend you have the moral high ground, but you put that man's finger on the meat on your butt. That man doesn't believe in climate change. I paid for this seat, and I'm sitting here. He is in my space. I'm going home. My mother-in-law, his mother-in-law died.
Now the mother-in-law is dead.
He had to be
All right, he gets the picture. You can read it on the New York Post website, or I linked it up on michaelsavage.com. Now, I'm making a big deal of it because it's an example of what is going on in America. Millions of them, millions of these left-wing, self-righteous phonies who pretend to be good liberals are in disbelief that they just lost, that their gal lost, that Donald Trump won, that no matter what they told each other at the march, he is still going to be president the next second. They cannot believe it, and they actually think that they can undo the election. Do you get it? Have you had an interchange with an anti-Trump supporter since the election? Is there anyone listening to this show who cares to call in and tell us what happened with one of these so-called good liberals from the time Trump was elected until now? And I'll give you my little story. Well, I gave it already. I'm not going to give it again. It's too petty to even talk about. But it's an example of them speaking out with a sense of empowerment, thinking that everyone around them is going to applaud them and slap them on the back. Well, actually, when that guy started speaking about how great the march was against Trump, and I voiced my disapproval, saying to him, you know what, I voted for Trump. We're 50% of America. I love the president. You lost. Get used to it. Well, they were stunned in the bar because they didn't believe that there would be one conservative in that liberal Marin County bar in this restaurant. No, it's just a big deal. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this big, tall guy, comes over to me, and he whispers to me, and he says, he said, let him have fun. Let him think that they still have power. So I look at the guy. I shook his hands. He was a real tall guy. I said, what's your name? He says to me, Gino. I says, gee, I couldn't have guessed. This guy was like an Italian right out of the books. I don't know where he came from. He was like Mr. Soprano. He was like God, a godsend in this bar. I was the bar. I was the only conservative. So he comes over. I said, he's whispering to me. I said, you don't have to whisper. I said, there's no one there to worry about. So I said, what's your name? He says, Gino. So I said, oh, no kidding. I thought he was either Gino or Anthony. So I shook his hand. He says, are you a Paisan? I said, I'm Michael Savage. He said, what? He said, I've listened to you for 15 years. He said, I love you, man. I said, well, you're my backup, okay? Thanks for appearing just when I needed you. That was my little story. Not a big deal. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Can I give you some advice on how to look better? Or how to dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Look, whether you're dressing for work or dressing to, like, go out and be attractive, people happen to notice the clothing you wear. It's why I wear Charles Tirrett shirts. They arrive. They're beautiful. Listen, we all love quality clothes, but until now, your options were brutal. It was either high-quality, ridiculously overpriced shirts or very affordable, out-of-style shirts that wrinkle the minute you put them on. But you see, CT shirts are the best shirts in my closet. They're British styled, using the softest fabrics, and they're the most exquisitely crafted, crease-free shirts I've ever worn. You want a tie, no tie, tucked, untucked, you'll get compliments in a CT shirt. You want the deal? I've got it for you. One CT shirt normally costs $100. Right now, you'll get three shirts for $99. That's 60% off. And CT shirts come with free delivery, 6-month quality guarantee, free returns, $99 for three amazing CT shirts. But you need to hurry, so go to ctshirts.com/savage. Simple, ctshirts.com/savage. That's ctshirts.com/savage. Women, guys don't know how to dress. They really don't. Buy your boyfriend or husband, even your father, some shirts. Go to ctshirts.com/savage. Now let's go to some of the news and some of the calls. You're not going to believe this. 2 days after the Women's March, 2 days after the abortion lobbyists were on the rampage in Washington, never forget that there's a lot of money involved here. I mean, for 1 minute, don't forget that a good portion of those marchers were abortion racketeers. And I can name the organizations who are going to be out of business within a year. Do you know what Trump did today, 2 days after the Women's March on Washington? He ended tax dollars for NGOs that provide abortions. Can you believe this? He just signed an executive order barring federal tax dollars from going to foreign organizations which perform abortions or promote them. He is reinstating the Mexico City policy that the evil President Obama rescinded once he seized power. But this policy had been put in place by Republicans in the Oval Office, including Reagan, Bush, and rolled back by evil, abortion-loving Democratic presidents. Reagan first instituted the policy in 1984 while attending a UN conference in Mexico City. It's a pro-life measure. It comes a day after the anniversary of the landmark Supreme Court case of Roe v. Wade and days before the annual March for Life in Washington. So this is the Trump presidency. He ended TPP. He started to limit abortions. It's astounding to see what's going on here. You know, well, listen, we don't have the wall. You don't expect that the first day, do you? We're getting some good things. Trump dumped TPP. Do you agree or disagree, by the way, on the TPP deal? Do you even know what it is? If you're a liberal, you say, oh, he shouldn't have done it. It's racist against the Asian countries. I don't know what it is, but I know it's bad because he did it. I heard from Madonna, anything he does is bad. I was told the TPP wasn't. I don't know what it is, TPP. It sounds dirty. It sounds like an S&M act that she does on the stage. But I don't like TPP. I do like TPP. I don't know, but he signed it. He eliminated it. I liked it. You don't know what it is, but you want it. You don't want it. You know what it is. I do know what it is. It's an imbalanced trade deal that puts us on par with a country with 300 people in it. In plain English, TPP would have put us on par with tiny Asian nations. We'd have equal rights to us in a trade deal. You hear this? That's what you want, you Schmendrick? No wonder the factories are empty. No wonder Eddie came out and voted for Trump. He's part of Trump's war, Eddie and Edith's out there. That's my new book, Trump's War, out in a couple of weeks now. Well, over a month. And you can only order it right now on Amazon.com or BNN.com. It's an important book for every Trump voter. Liberals, do not buy this book. I do not even want to see Trump's war in a liberal hand.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Came out saying 74% of Californians. What do you think this says? You think they want sanctuary cities or they don't want them? You think they want the illegals kicked out or they want to embrace them? You ready? 74% of Californians want to end sanctuary cities. Now, you would think living in California, as I do, that everyone's a liberal. That's why they're so full of you-know-what in public places. They think everybody agrees with them. They don't know what's about to hit them. They don't know about the tsunami of people who hate their policies, hate their politics. And they don't understand that if they keep shooting their mouths off as though they still own the country, and still can steamroll everybody with their self-righteousness, it's just not the same world that it was before this election. New law, 74% of Californians want to end sanctuary cities, and they're marching around. Why don't they just take an immigrant into their house? Ask one of these self-righteous women from Marin County, California, where I happen to live most of the time. One of these, let me describe them, mean face, clipped hair, thin, granny glasses, making believe that they're good liberals. They try to run you off the road in their Prius. They usually cut you off from the right lane and try to drive you into a pole with a Hillary bumper sticker, or some of them are so outrageous they still have Obama 2008 on to show how what good members of the party they really are. Ask them, why don't they just take in some people from Mexico or El Salvador or Nicaragua or Honduras with Zika? Why don't they just embrace children with Zika from Honduras to show what good liberals they are? I mean, they are selfish, these liberals, when you think about it. Either they have no children anymore, or they never had them. They're older, by and large. They own a house with 3 to 4 bedrooms. They're there alone or with their girlfriend or their husband. And there's 2 or 3 empty bedrooms. And I believe that they should definitely take in people from these countries and take care of them. Give them food, give them shelter, give them clothing, give them extra money, because that's what we're doing in this state. We're paying for it. Do you understand? It's like taking someone in your house. It's like actually not even taking someone in your house. Like someone in the government saying, you're going to take someone in your house. What if I don't want to pay for their food and their shelter and their clothing and their medical care? What if I don't have the money and don't want to pay for them? What, the government said you have to anyway, Jerry? Why don't you take them in your house, Jerry Brown? Hey, Jerry, move some El Salvadorans into your house. All you phony Democrats. When was the last time you had illegal aliens to dinner, Jerry? We're fed up with this. We hate it. We want our country back, and we want our state back, and we want it now. Never mind the march of hysterics there anymore, the march of the tin soldiers there. Marching, marching. Go march all you want. It's a free country. It's a free country. March all you want. It doesn't mean I agree with you. What is the march actually for? Does anyone know what they were protesting? There were a lot of groups there, and 50 of them were funded by George Soros. You don't even know who he is. Oh, don't get me started on him. The Second American Civil War is here, someone sent me. Did you know that one of the chief organizers of the marchers, her name is Linda Sarsour. She's a Hamas terrorist-loving executive of the Arab American Association of New York. She was an organizer of the worldwide anti-Trump Women's March. She was honored by the illegitimate President Obama with a Champion of Change Award. Did you hear what I just said to you? Do you have any idea what happened here? One of the chief organizers of that march the other day is executive director of the Arab American Association of New York. So on the face of it, so what? Arab Americans, they're good people. I know some great Arab Americans. But she's not one of the good ones. She is a Palestinian Muslim American, self-proclaimed pure New Yorker, born and raised in Brooklyn. Great. But what does she stand for? Well, she's calling for an end to unwarranted surveillance of New York's Muslim communities. Why? She wants an end to police policies like stop and frisk. Why? You want more crime? You want more muggings? You want more people being beaten up and robbed and shot? She also co-founded Muslims for Ferguson to bring solidarity amongst American Muslim communities and encourage work against police brutality. She's a member of the Communist Justice League New York City. She's a big shot in the New York City activist organization, which includes formerly imprisoned individuals and so-called artists working to reform the New York Police Department. Reform it? I'll tell you who's going to get reformed. You're going to get reformed. The police are not going to be reformed anymore. Okay? The artists are going to be reformed. We don't want the criminal justice system reformed. We want the criminals in jail and we want the police controlling the streets. That's what we want. That's what we voted for. We want law and order. We don't want the bums in the street controlling the streets. We want the police controlling the streets. So anyway, I can read you more about her. She got many awards. You know who gave them the awards? Obama. Let's see, including Champion of Change by the White House. Da-da-da-da-da. They're gone. What would you have given to be have a hidden mic in Obama's vacation home Friday night in Palm Springs? I would have given a lot of money for that one. I'd love to see what went on in that house between him and Michelle. Can you imagine how depressed you are? Let's say you're a depressed person. Let's say you're an unhappy individual who listens to talk radio because everything in your life stinks and you're looking for someone to blame. You're looking for a scapegoat. All right, fine. Probably a large percentage of people listen to talk radio are malcontents. That's fine. I'm an unhappy person. So what? Does it make me bad? But is unhappiness a crime? Is unhappiness unpatriotic? I'm not a happy person. I don't think I was since I'm 2 years old. I think at two I was happy the last time for a day straight. Now I have intermittent snatches of happiness. Maybe on a bike ride, maybe a drink. Whatever, a little here and there, a little happiness. But basically I'm not a happy person. Does it make me a bad person? Does it make me a deplorable? No, it makes me who I am. Is unhappiness unpatriotic? I don't know. No one's ever asked that. Is that allowed? Is it allowed? Are you allowed to be unhappy? Or do you need medication? Well, you ask the shrinks who are giving it to you how happy they are with the highest suicide rate of all professionals, the people dispensing the drugs, the whack jobs. They're giving you the drugs, and they have the highest rate of suicide amongst all professionals. This is not a laughing matter. I've studied that, of why shrinks commit, why they whack themselves so much. It's not the profession of being around people who are unhappy. I mean, that doesn't help. But people who go into the psychiatric or therapeutic professions of the mind basically are miserable people to begin with, screwed up, everything's wrong, their life doesn't work, they don't know what's wrong, whatever. And so they go into a field trying to understand themselves. And then a collateral thing, they make a living, they make a buck trying to heal other people. But fundamentally, they went into it to try to figure themselves out. And they never do because some things can't be fixed. That's simple. What? Why is it so hard for you to accept that I, Michael Savage, know what I'm talking about? You know, many of you listen and say, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. The other say, he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong. Then the other guy says, wait a minute, what did that guy just say? He's right. That's what happened there. That's all. It's that simple. So, of these groups that marched the other day, where's the Hamas lover? And we found that the billionaire George Soros has ties to more than 50 so-called partners of the Women's March on Washington. Really? He's connected to the march? I thought it was spontaneous groups. Robert, Jim, didn't you think it was all spontaneously outraged women and people of color and Latinos and African-Americans and LGBT? I think I included them already. I don't know what group I missed. All of these disenfranchised groups spontaneously went to Washington. One of Hillary Clinton's largest donors funded over 50 groups in the march. It was not spontaneous. It was highly organized by this emigre from Hungary. Now, I don't want to go into the rumors that are circulating about George Soros' background in the Holocaust, about the stories about what him and his father did and how they benefited from the Holocaust, because all we hear about is that he fled after the war, he was a victim of the Holocaust. There are a lot of rumors that I cannot confirm or deny, and some of them are confirmed from a Steve Croft interview on CBS's 60 Minutes, that his father was one of the types in the Jewish community that went around evicting Jews when they were told to get out of their apartments or houses by Nazis, and dispersing their possessions and benefiting from thereof. That's the rumor. He was one of those. And here he is now. So he goes to London, goes to the London School of Economics. That is a fact that we can report. He then comes to America in the 50s and becomes a brilliant hedge fund trader and makes a fortune betting against currencies, shorting them. And he almost broke the British pound. You say, gee, he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. How many Brits lost their houses? How many Brits lost their businesses because of this piece of garbage? Did you ever ask about the human cost about people who short stocks or short currencies? Did you ever ask? You say, oh, he's smart. He's a billionaire. Really? Did you ever ask who benefits and who loses? For everyone who gains in the stock market, someone loses. For every hedge funder who makes money, there's someone who loses money. Never forget that. Never forget that. These people devastate industries. They devastate nations. Soros is one of the smartest of them. Does that make him right? Now, he's done nothing illegal. Let me be very clear about that. I'll be very clear about that. But by agitating around the world, there are nations who have brought charges against him. Not just Russia. France has cases against him. Germany has cases against him. Greece has cases against him. And now he's here in America for many, many years, using his vast fortune to undermine democracy itself, in my opinion. And this leads us to a very important question. You have to know something about George Soros to answer it, but I'll ask it because it's long overdue, which is, should George Soros and his son be investigated by the new Attorney General? And for what? What would they investigate him for? I'm asking the question. See, I'm not for government investigations of dissenters. Let me be very clear. I've been a dissenter all my life. So we've got to be very careful what we ask for here. But did he break any law by funding 50 organizations that went to Washington on Saturday? What laws did he break? Why would a man of Jewish descent be funding Muslim organizations that hate Jews? That's the big question. Why would a man of Jewish descent be funding groups tied to Hamas? And I can give you the answer very simply. Because he hates Israel. He tried to overthrow Netanyahu the last I checked. Him and Obama conspired to overthrow Netanyahu. Did you know that? All right. Well, I think I've given you enough for Monday. Now, play some music for a minute. Because I think we need to back off and give everyone a breather. It's too much for them. I can tell it's Monday. They're breathing fast. They got palpitations. 855-407-2822. So, my friends, we watched the press conference today with Spicer. He did a great job. If you watched it, he's the incoming. I wouldn't want that job for $1 billion a year. I couldn't do that job. I watched this guy. He was a wizard facing a hostile press that specialized in fake news. I don't know how he does it. You say, oh, you will. I could never do that job. He's so good at this job. guy looks like an Eagle Scout. Oh, this is like a nightmare for the all the other alternative communities out there. Why? The whole administration scares them because they're all white men. They almost all look like guys out of a 1950s recruiting poster for the Eisenhower administration. Sean Spicer, the press secretary, is like blonde, blue-eyed, square-jawed. These guys all look like Eagle Scouts. Trump's picking people who look like Eagle Scouts. Do you know what anathema that is? Do you know what a threat that is to this pack of individuals who hate straight white men? Every one of their most dire nightmare was that straight, white, heterosexual Christian males would one day rule America. They thought it was over. They were positive that straight, white Christian males would again have power in the country. Remember as near as 6 months ago, oh, you white guys are dead, old white males. Remember that? Remember that was going on? Oh, you guys are finished. You'll see. Yeah, well, guess what? We're here, we're near, we're everywhere. We haven't gone anywhere yet. We're still here. We're not dead. And we're running the world. Have a nice day.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We are talking about anti-Trump vermin at marches, in restaurants, in your home, in your workplace, what these vermin are doing. Tell us what they're doing as they attack you under the guise of being nice people. Nice in their own eyes, I suppose. Diane on KLIF in Dallas, give us your story as quickly as possible, please.
Okay, Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak to you, and just to make it as concise as possible, I recently joined a dating website for older people. And I came across this profile the other night of this gentleman, which that's a term I use loosely with him. During his profile, he said that if you were a Trump supporter, don't bother. You are crazy. And so I couldn't resist the gauntlet being thrown down. So I had to send him a message. I said,
wait a minute. You went on a dating site for older people, and right away you said a Trump supporter. Okay, go ahead. So what did you say to him?
I just said that we're on opposite ends of the spectrum, so sorry you're closed-minded, but it seems to be the recurring thing for liberals. And then he comes back and he says, not closed-minded, I just can't tolerate uninformed, lying, traitorous, sexist, disgusting pieces of garbage, duping people like you to win an election. Enjoy your Russian puppet, comrade. And I put...
Look, I love what you did, Diane, but I would have recommended... Actually, is it too late to change your name and date him? I think what you should do is say that you're a Hillary supporter and date him, and then bring something special for him for his drink or his food.
It would be arsenic, I'm sure.
No, stop it. We're not recommending that. I'm not Madonna. I don't call for violence. Can you bring an undate rape drug, something that prevents someone from performing? Is that legal?
I don't know. I have not looked into that.
And I just said an undate rape drug. Wow, what a story that is. Ladies, never, ever, ever stare down an anti-Trumper. They're vicious.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So, it's the first day of the Trump administration. Two executive orders already that we know of that have a really big effect. He knocked out TPP. He limited abortions. This is so amazing right after the Women's March. Does anyone know what they marched about? I know racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia. Let me see what else. What are the phobias are out there? These are the real phobic people. The phobic people are the ones who see phobias everywhere. They're phobia detectives. Wherever they go, there's phobia. They have like magnifying glasses. Imagine them, these liberals. They're running around magnifying glasses to see if you're a phobic of some kind, when they're actually Americophobes, all of these. Well, anyway, I'm a germaphobe, so I can spot a bed bug from a mile away. Welcome to the program. My horoscope says, Aries, you will speak your mind today and throughout the week, and that's a good thing. The more you stir things up, the more likely it is that significant changes will eventually be made. This is definitely not the time to keep your mouth shut, Aries. Well, okay, fine. What's in a horoscope? Who knows? It's kind of advice from like a pen pal. Who knows what it means? You can get me in trouble. My friends, this is a good day because we're talking about the anti-Trumpers going berserk around America. And I've asked people to call in with their experiences with anti-Trumpers who think that the election can still be reversed, that Hillary can still be president, that Trump can be impeached, that Putin controlled the election. You know, you name it. They've got it in their heads. So people are calling on that. And I think that's a very good show topic. But before we go back to that topic, I want to go to the Women's March from Saturday. I watched, honest to God, only a few minutes of it. I try not to get agitated over the weekend. I have enough agitation from Monday to Friday. So Saturday and Sunday, I try not to do that. I do other things. Either I basically do nothing. I get catatonic. I try to stare off into space. In other words, my way of meditating. I do other things. I don't want to hear about politics. But with the march, okay, I click it on. I clicked on C-SPAN. My luck. I turn it on, and there's this little brat, a little communist brat that they found. I don't know if she's Mexican or El Salvadoran, but they already found their next Obama. They think this girl will be president one day. So there are her parents. One of them is wearing a multicolored outfit of some kind, some ethnic outfit. You know it's an ethnic outfit because it had many colors on it. Apparently, white people don't wear those kind of outfits. I don't know where that came from, that particularly beautiful costuming. I don't think it's indigenous to the Aztec people. I don't know where that came from. I suspect it came from Moe Rabinowitz somewhere in the garment center of New York, made it probably first in the 1950s and sent it over to the south of the border because nobody would wear it here. But there she was with the father, a stone-faced father, and a mother wearing the multicolored outfit. And there's this five-year-old screaming about the rights of immigrants in my country. Listen to her in clip one.
My name is Sophie Cruz. We are here together making a chain of love to protect our families.
Oh, really? How about our family, Sophie?
Let us fight with love, faith, and courage so that our families will not be destroyed.
You hear this? You hear what they put in the mouth of this child? It's child abuse.
I also want to tell the children not to be afraid, because we are not alone. There are still many people that have their hearts filled with love and tenders to snuggle in this path of life. Let's keep together and fight for the rights. God is with us.
So they wrote a commie script for this six-year-old girl from probably Mexico, and already she owns America. She's empowered because the communist pope blessed her a couple of months ago, invited us, so who knows? The communist agitator in the Vatican, that's a sad story unto itself, how the Catholic Church had been taken. Look, I write about this in Trump's War, how they almost had the whole world. If you only could see the introduction of my book, the radical left, with the New World Soviet Order, let me be very clear, almost won it all. They almost had the entire board game in their hands. They had Obama. They thought they were going to replace him easily with Hillary. They had all of Europe. They had the Vatican. They owned the fake news and the press. They own all of the media outlets and television. The only people standing in their way were the Israelis under Netanyahu and the Russians under Putin. And, of course, only a few other opponents from the New World Soviet Order that they had created. And so it was an amazing thing to witness this march and see these people who think that they're still in power. To let them actually think that by going there and raising a stink, that they're going to change anything. They're changing nothing. That's the mark of the loser. They're allowed to do it? Yes. They're allowed to dissent? Yes. Just as I have been an outsider for all these years, watching the libs destroy the very things I love in this country, well, now they're on the outside. They can scream and yell all they want. It's in the Constitution. They cannot, though, get violent. Well, they can do something if they would like. They can get violent, but people can get violent back. Madonna can scream about blowing up the White House all she wants. I'm not a Madonna fan. I think she's a very homely woman who's a fabulous entertainer, but a vile human being. Listen to this now in clip number two from this hag. This has been Madonna at the march on Saturday.
There is power in our unity, and that no opposing force stands a chance.
Really?
In the face of true solidarity.
Oh, get off it.
And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything, f*** you. You.
So she used the F word, thinking that made her cool and wild and crazy. And then she talks about blowing up the White House in clip three. Listen to this one.
Yes, I'm angry.
Oh, poor girl.
Yes, I am outraged.
Oh, you've suffered so much.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Really? You thought about blowing up the White House? Why is she not arrested? Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very serious statement I am making. I don't care if she's Madonna or Jesus Christ himself. There is a law in this country that says you cannot threaten the president without going to jail, without the Secret Service arresting you. Now, I want to ask you something, all you good liberals who think that you're so smart. I've had a national show for 22 years. I have never, ever, ever hidden my contempt for Barack Obama. I hated him. I think he's one of the most evil men that has ever been foisted upon us. And I don't want to go into it now. Everything he did was fraudulent. Everything he did was anti-American. Everything he did weakened us, made us embarrassed us around the world, embarrassed our allies, and emboldened our enemies. But I never said anything like this because I know the rules. If I had ever said anything like this, anyone in talk radio had ever said what she just said, not only would our careers be over, we'd be in prison. The Secret Service would have arrested us. Why is she walking around today with impunity? I want an answer to that question. I want to know why the Secret Service has not arrested Madonna for making a threat to the life of the president and his family and everyone else in that White House. I want to know why she has not been arrested. Can anyone answer this? What, they don't want to make her into a martyr? So they figure they don't want to make her any bigger than she already is? Is that it? This is a very dangerous precedent to let a vicious entertainer like this, who is fundamentally an old burlesque star, basically just showing her crotch as often as she can, and screeching on stage with a bunch of gay men dancing behind her. Good. Great act. Everyone loves it. She can do whatever she wants. But she can't threaten the president with blowing up the White House. And I want to know why the Secret Service hasn't arrested her. It's not a country where you can say things like that, nor should it be. Okay, so I made my point. Good. Then we had a character called Ashley Judd. Honest to God, I have heard the name. I don't know who it is. I don't know if Ashley Judd is a man or a woman. I have no idea what it is. I don't know whether it's even a human being. But a thing called Ashley Judd said Hitler has been reborn in Trump. Listen to 05.
I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets, a mustache traded for a toupee, Nazis renamed the cabinet.
Boy, what a poem that is. That's immediate Nobel level. That's Nobel level writing right there. Wow. Hitler in these streets. She's right. They're all wearing skirts and Hitler in these streets, a mustache traded for a toupee. Does Donald have a mustache? Oh, Hitler had the mustache, I think. Nazis renamed the cabinet? All right, she can say that, but my friends, why would you ever watch a movie with this thing called Ashley Judd in it? And I want to make a big point about this. Now, during the election, there were a bunch of actors, I can name only a few of them now, who showed who they really are. Racist to the core. One of them, I'll name them right now. They came out with statements that were so anti-white, they rolled my head around because I always liked their performances. One of them, and I'll never forget his name, was Morgan Freeman. I always thought Morgan Freeman was an evolved human being who was beyond race. But Morgan Freeman showed himself to be a hater. And I watched it and I couldn't believe it. Another one was Samuel Jackson Jr. There's a whole list of actors and actresses who showed themselves to be other than what they present themselves as being during the election. You know you have the power to never ever attend any of their concerts again? Do you know you have the power to click through on your television clicker when they appear to go right past the show so it's not credited, for example, on the cable company that you use, which keeps the records according to what show you watch? So let's say there's this Morgan Freeman. Do you know what they did for him to resuscitate his image after that? They gave him a show on God, on Nat Geo. Now, I don't know if you know who owns Nat Geo. The Nat Geo channel used to be very good. It's owned by the Murdoch brothers. The same Murdoch Corporation owns Nat Geo. They're very left-wing. And so they gave him a show on What is God. It's nauseating to watch this guy parade himself as a fair-minded commentator, because I don't think he is fair-minded in any way. As I said, there are many actors and actresses. And I would actually invite your calls. If you saw any actor or actress during the campaign who exposed himself or herself for being bigoted or racist in any way, and I'm talking about bigoted or racist towards white people, to be very clear, would you please call this show so we can make a list of people to make sure you never watch any of their shows again, or you just skim right by their television programs again? I put Robert De Niro on my list. Do you know why? I used to love the man's acting. I still think he's one of the greatest actors around. I love him in every role. I go right past any movie he's in. He was so hateful. He showed himself to be the opposite of what he portrays. I will not patronize him. That is my right as a consumer. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Have you been accosted verbally by a Hillary supporter since Trump won? What have they done and what have they said? Which actors or actresses do you no longer watch or patronize because of their bigotry as exposed during the campaign? I think these are great questions, and I want to talk about them. But during the break, I was watching some TV, and I saw, I have a silent, you know, it's on silent on one of the channels, and I saw these huge men talking in front of the White House. I don't know who they were. I'm talking dinosaur-level men. Monstrously large men. I said, who are these guys? Well, they're the union leaders. They just came out of a meeting with Trump singing his praises. I said, this is unbelievable. The very thing that Democrats thought would never happen in a million years would be unions supporting Trump. They come out praising Trump, singing his praises, saying they're going to work with him. Of course we know why. Because he's going to throw billions of dollars of business their way in terms of infrastructure repair. And who do you think is going to get the jobs? American workers. So it's good for everyone. Good for the unions. Good for the roads. Good for the bridges. Good for the tunnels. Good for America. It's everything Trump promised. The only ones on the outside of this are the Democrats, who never thought this day would come. But it just came. That was number one. That's phenomenal. Right now, there's a debate confirming Mike Pompeo, a CIA director. Standing in his way is Dianne Feinstein, who I hope that Mr. Pompeo, when he is confirmed with the CIA, does a very deep investigation of Dianne Feinstein. It is long overdue for all of these overly powerful octogenarians in the Senate and in the House, whose wealth has greatly increased while they are in public office. How did that happen? How do you come to power worth a few million dollars and then be worth a few hundred million dollars? Other than through, let us say, self-serving deals. Why is that permitted? I thought Trump was going to clean the swamp. Let him start with the swamp of the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House. And start with those who have profited greatly while in office by steering contracts, whoever they may be. That's right, you heard me. Michael on WABC Line 4 regarding Madonna saying she'd like to blow up the White House. What's your opinion?
How you doing, Michael? It's an honor to talk to you. I did something many years ago similar to that to Dinkins. I had told him something that got me arrested, but I knew what I was saying, that it wouldn't be a case, to where I knew if I said it that it was in my mind or I fantasized about it, that they could not prosecute because it's not an actual credible threat. You would have to physically say, I am going to blow up the White House and kill everyone.
All right, okay, so now let me tell you something. You're wrong, because the laws have changed. With the anti-terrorism laws, let us say there's an American, he could be Muslim, he could be not Muslim, and he says, I'm fantasizing about blowing up the World Trade, not that, I'm fantasizing about blowing up the George Washington Bridge. He would be arrested within 2 seconds if they ever got him on tape saying that, and I can guarantee you, with the Patriot Act, he'd go to jail. Do you know that?
Well, I disagree and I agree at the same time, meaning it maybe have a lot to do with that. She's such a celebrity status, they don't want to get into a hissy fit and have everyone come
in. That's right. They don't want to take her on because it'll only build up her reputation, which is already falling apart anyway. So they're going to leave that alone. But you know, it sets a very dangerous precedent for a woman of that power to say she fantasizes blowing up the White House and not being investigated by the U.S. Secret Service. Michael, thanks for calling from New York City. I'm so glad you're a listener. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, oh, am I on the air? Thank you. That's a joke. Everyone knows the shtick. They get it. So we're just rapping here, just having a good time. We won. They lost. Get used to it. Someone just sent me an email. They said, you know, you listen to these women. You listen to them screeching at the event, screaming like the world, like it makes a difference what they say. Like they're going to change the world by screaming female power, abortions, illegal immigrants, LGBT, Muslims, screaming. Doesn't affect anything other than make us even stronger. And the email says, you know what they remind me of? They remind me of people who are in a hot box together, smoking dope in a very closed space. And they start talking to each other and think that it makes sense. But just a bunch of drug addicts screaming at each other. Have a nice day. You lost, we won, and there's a lot of us. That's all. WABC George, what do you say about the Madonna thing? Did she break the law by saying, I dreamed of blowing up the White House? Isn't that actionable?
Yes, she did. She violated the Smith Act of 1940. It's not a very long law, but if you read it, you can see it's plain and clear. But speaking of fantasy, Charlie Manson fantasized of a race war. He never killed anybody, but he talked other people into doing it. So by her saying that, can provoke somebody to step forward.
That's what I'm saying. So she's saying, I'm not saying I'd do it. But I dreamed of it. So you get some unhinged feminist in the audience who's liable to go try to blow up the White House. All right, thank you. I'm giving you a copy of what? You name it, you gain it. What book are you going to get when it comes out if you name it?
I would love Trump's War.
Oh, you see that? The man knows what he's talking about. All right. Let me read something to you all out there because it's so self-aggrandizing that even I can't miss it. I got to find it. It was so well written. Someone sent me something on Facebook. I don't know if I could find it. Here it is. Sometimes I like to read this. Here. I'll make it short from Facebook. Someone sent, Mike, I want to reassure you in my personal viewpoint where you stand in the overall scheme of things, in particular where you stand in the political theater, and especially in the history of radio as an influential medium. Savage, you stand between Walter Winchell and Orson Welles, with Paul Harvey standing behind you cheering you on. They are cheering and beaming with pride and awe in great part because you not only campaigned vigorously and got the candidate to the finish line, you designed and set the national public policy that we are all looking forward to seeing implemented. And when you read the sponsors' ads live on your show, this is funny, you are awakening the spirits of all of your forefathers in radio. You bring more class to the microphone than all of your competitors, peers, colleagues, etc. put together. Nobody has done this in a lifetime. Old-time radio at its finest. And though you stand among the giants of the medium, you stand alone as the only broadcaster to have actively elected an underdog candidate to the presidency against sometimes impossible odds. And now that Trump has been sworn in and can begin the work you have articulated so well, you are a national treasure about the umbrella blues and your place in the scheme of things. And he goes on about that. He says, you have the ultimate privilege of being the man behind the curtain. learn to love the curtain. It's kind of like the way the San Francisco fog can somehow act as a warm down comforter. The curtain is your friend. And he says, and last but not least, the men behind the curtain, behind the man behind the curtain, proof that God exists surely arrived when he goes on to some of the commercials he loves, and he's going to blah, 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 and he talks about Jim and Rob, and he says how overworked they are, how great they are, Jim and Rob. He compliments you, by the way. And he says, now get back out there and inform and entertain America. So thank you. I love these things. I read them once in a while on the weekend. That's all. Now, what was the Women's March about? It says, we stand together in solidarity. The minute I hear solidarity, I reach for my Glock. Because the word solidarity means the communists are trying to take away everything I've worked for my whole life. That's a word used by hardcore leftist agitators. Through my whole life, I know what the word solidarity means. Why, those are the good folks who gave us Ferguson, Missouri. Those are the good solidarity citizens who almost burnt Baltimore to the ground. Women's March mission and vision. We stand together in solidarity with our partners and children. Never mind husband or wife, partners. The minute I heard partner, I knew the country was already going down the tubes. You say, here's my husband, here's my wife. Now it's, here's my partner. The last I heard that was Gabby Hayes on a chuck wagon. He was a partner of Roy Rogers or something. Or the Lone Ranger. I don't know who he was with. Gabby Hayes was a partner, not a husband of Roy Rogers. But now I wake up, Gabby Hayes is now the husband of Roy Rogers. I don't know what they were marching about. The rhetoric of the past election cycle has insulted, demonized, and threatened many of us. Immigrants of all statuses. Muslims and those of diverse religious faiths, they write. People who identify, here we go again, every day. LGBTQIA, now it's gone from gays and lesbians to LGBT, that we already absorbed, the acronym. Now I don't know what this one is. LGBTQIA. What is this? Can someone translate? Don't bother, I know what it means. Native people, black and brown people, people with disabilities, survivors of sexual assault, and our communities are hurting and scared. And they go on with the spirit of democracy, dignity. In other words, they're agitators who are really pissed off that normal people are now running America again. You heard me. Don't tell me what is normal. We all know what normal is. I know you know. What do you mean normal? How dare you say we're not normal? Well, why identify yourself in all of these subways unless you're normal, if you're normal? You're not normal. You are segments of minority communities. God bless you all. But you are agitating to convert the entire nation to your viewpoint. And it's not going to happen. You're not going to convert this to a Sharia-loving Muslim nation. You're not going to convince Christians that they should throw their baby before it's born into a dumpster. You're not going to convince white people to just commit suicide because they were born white. So, you know, you want rights and dignity and justice. Good for you. Well, so do we. And we got it. Take a look at Trump and his cabinet. And have a nice day and gag on it, by the way. Okay, what else is going to be up there? How about the vulgarity and hatred and filth? And how about the vermin and the garbage they left behind in the gutters there? The wonderful sacred women. The filth and garbage they left behind. Huh? You didn't see any of that? Covered up by Fox News? Okay, let's go to the callers. That's all. Charles, KSFO, San Francisco, Line 5, you're up. Go ahead.
First thing I want to say is I'm not snoring for a book.
Oh, you're not snoring for a book. So now you get one because you said that. You're getting a Trump's war. Okay, next.
I want to compare Robert De Niro to Adolf Hitler.
Oh, come on. He's just a good actor who made him a putz of himself. I'll punch him in the nose, that one.
No. Well, the point I'm trying to make is that comparing any other person, including Stalin or Mao, to Adolf Hitler is ridiculous.
Okay, I don't understand where you're coming from. You don't like Robert De Niro because he said what?
The most vile, evil, vicious person that's ever lived in the 20th century.
Stalin, because he killed more people than Hitler. Okay, go on.
Stalin comes close. Hitler went out and...
I missed. You said the worst one was Mao. Didn't you say that? Who killed 60 million of his fellow Chinese?
Yeah, but he did it for a political reason.
No, wait, you mean Hitler did it for a personal reason? I don't understand the difference.
Well, the point point I'm trying to make is that how can you take anyone that's alive today who's a leader of a country, Mr. Trump, and compare him to Adolf Hitler and not come off as you're rehabilitating Hitler?
Okay, I understand. First of all, Trump wasn't even in office. He hasn't enacted any policy. So to make a comparison is ludicrous to begin with. It just means they're racist and biased against straight, white, Christian males.
Correct.
In plain English, that's where the hatred's coming from. Trump has not enacted many policies. In fact, when the hatred started, comparing him to all of these vile dictators who killed millions upon millions of people, what were they comparing him for? Because they have a phobia. They have a Christophobia, number one. They have a heterophobia, number two. So they have a phobia towards straight, white, Christian males. That phobia explains some of their vile commentary. Would you say that is correct, Charles?
Yes, it is correct. It is also correct to define it as a mental disorder.
Oh, I can see you're a regular listener now. Now you're feeding me straight lines. You're giving me softballs and wiffle balls. Charles, you live in the San Francisco area. I could see you're calling on KSFO or you're calling online.
I live in Florida. I stream KSFO.
You stream KSFO. All right. Well, if you're in Fort Lauderdale or up down there, you can listen on WFTL.
Yeah, but
so you didn't. But wait a minute. You didn't call to schnurr a book. What did you call mainly? Because you were angry they were comparing Trump to Hitler and Stalin?
I am angry that people feel, to me, as a Jewish person, to compare Hitler to anyone makes Hitler seem to be rehabilitated.
Oh, I'm seeing where you're coming from.
Yeah.
In other words, what you're doing is modifying, lightening what Hitler did by comparing him to an American politician you don't like.
Right.
Right? In other words, you take a man who put 6 million Jews to their death in the most horrible way, and 9 million non-Jews to their death in the most horrible way.
Correct.
15 million people slaughtered by Hitler, and then compare him to Trump because you don't like the way he looks or sounds. You're saying that that's ludicrous? Because what it does is it lessens Hitler's crimes, right?
Yes.
That's exactly. I'm glad, you know, I got to repeat something I haven't said for a long time. There was a French poet, to show you my literary background, named Mallarmé, M-A-L-L-A-R-M-E, like Mellorol, but Mallarmé. And he wrote, and I remember reading this when I was 18 years old, that the work of the poet is donner plus clair la mot de la tribu, for those of you who speak French, and I do occasionally, when I'm in the right mood, and I've had enough coffee. But he said the work of the poet is donner plus clair le mot de la tribu, pardon my mangled French, to make clearer the words of the tribe. That's what we do in talk radio. Do you know that? So I help make the words of the tribe more clear as we sit around the campfire trying to talk about ideas. Charles, stay on the line. We'll send you a copy of Trump's War. The minute's out. I think they'll be out at late February in the bookstores everywhere March 14. It really is an important book, or I wouldn't have written it. I told you I wasn't going to do any more political books. I wasn't going to do any more political books. But to do the God book, the publisher made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And the great publisher, I told you that, Hachette's the best publisher in America. They love me and I love them. I said I will do it. They said we want a book on Trump soon after the inauguration. I've been working around the clock. I joke with you, oh, I'm not working. I've been working around the clock on this thing, and I'm updating it today. I'm updating it right now with what he did already today with the TPP and the abortion thing. The guy is a miracle worker already. I'll be back. Tell you more about it right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know it's the Savage Nation. You know my name is Michael and your listeners. I cannot believe what I just listening outside the window. We have ferocious weather here in the San Francisco area. During the break, I heard like pounding on the roof. Pounding, I thought something crazy because 2 minutes before, I looked out, the sun was there. I thought the storms were over. We had 40-foot waves over the weekend, 8 feet of snow in the Sierras. It's hailing here. God, what is going on? What's going to be next? Frogs falling out of the sky and lizards. The plague. God's really angry at us. And so as I say to you, you got to be very careful because we're getting some kind of reaction from the heavens. It's definitely global warming. We know that. Yeah, like I've never seen hail before in the Bay Area or snow on one of the mountains, sure. Well, anyway, many of you don't know this, but I used to be on the advisory board of one of the largest health food chains in America as the National Director of Nutrition. And that's why I took on this product, Superbeets, because it happens to be one of the most impressive natural functional foods I've ever seen in my career. You know why? Blood flow, blood flow, blood flow. What does that mean? Beets are loaded with dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric acid in the body. What does nitric acid do? It helps support healthy circulation and healthy blood pressure levels. Superbeets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates to specifically help with blood flow and circulation. Did you know Superbeets works three times faster to give you results you can feel, and it tastes good? I want you to take Superbeets every day. You'll feel the energy and stamina it gives you within 20 minutes, and you will want to feel it right away. You know how you do it? Simple. You call 800-481-0504. That's 800-481-0504. Or you go to SavageLovesBeets.com. That's SavageLovesBeets.com. You get a 30-day supply for free. Comes with your first order. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Then you get a free book, Beat the Odds. You get free shipping on your entire order. And you're going to love the results that you're going to get with your first free canister of Superbeets, or you get your money back, okay? That's it. It's simple. 800-481-0504, 800-481-0504, or SavageLovesBeats.com. And that's it. That's the whole story. That's the shtick. That's a good thing. That is the good thing. Talking about popular culture, I like to watch TV. So this show, Homeland, boy, did they miscalculate on Showtime. They have a woman president. Duh. I guess they thought it was a lock that Hillary would win. They couldn't change it. Mrs. Incoming President. Yeah, right. So unbelievable. And Carrie, the chief star there, whatever her name is, every scene she's like hysterical. She walks around the corner, it's like, oh, and the boohoo faces. The worst show in the history of television is Homeland. Mandy Patinkin cannot save it. F. Murray Abraham cannot save it. Nothing can save that show. A woman president, put an X through it. Start again. Skip a season. She lost. Forget about it. There's another thing you got to understand. We are watching the tail end of the Obama era, where every character in every play looks like Obama or someone like him. Everywhere you turn, there was an Obama lookalike, here, there, ads. Everywhere you turn, there was like a mini Obama, a mini-me Obama. And the ads are still running. They don't realize he's no longer president. So they thought she would win and Obama would still be prominent. Well, guess what? Out with the old, in with the new. Change your ads, change your shows, change your themes, change your storylines, change your party line, because we're here, we're near, we're everywhere, we're everywhere. We won. You lost. You got it? The world has changed under your feet. The world has changed under your feet. And all the old rock and rolling hags in the world cannot change reality. Have a nice break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So off to a great start, Sean Spicer, the National Press Secretary, did a superb job taking on the fake newsers today. They don't know what to do with him. No matter how they tried, he was like an Eagle Scout dealing with Cub Scouts. I mean, the little Cub Scouts were attacking the pack leader, and he just didn't go for it. He actually was yelling at them like, it was a mixture, it was a mixture, it was good. So he did some good things today. Reshaping U.S. trade, freezes hiring of federal workers, everything from my last two books. It doesn't mean that he copied me, but we know that he listened to talk radio for years to get his policy positions straight. And the good news is he's acting on them. So my 50-point plan from two books ago is now on the road to being enacted. Make no mistake about it, okay? You can easily dismiss Michael Savage. Oh, he's nobody. He's a shock jock. You do so at your own risk. I didn't last for 22 years and write one bestseller after another because I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm not listened to by people of prominence. Okay? So get your act together and get on the right side of things because you're going to be left out in the cold otherwise. Period. End of story. Now, he knocks out TPP, right? Now, why would Hollywood support the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership? What was in it for Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg that they hated Eddie and Edith? Trump knocked it out. Knocked it out. Four reasons why Hollywood supported the TPP. What was in it for Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg? What were they going to get out of it? What were they going to make out of the deal? What, they did distribute their movies to some nation with 200 people in it and knock out more jobs for Americans? Speaking of insults, L.A., drought, 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 drought. I mean, the lizards were screaming for years. Screaming in L.A. You drive down there, you're like, the leaves were crying out to you as you drove down hills around in the canyons in Los Angeles. I drive up there, and I say, God, the animals, how do they live? So I would say, don't worry to myself. I know that the drought will end. It's a cycle. It's a Mediterranean climate. And we're going to get a lot of rain. We'll go to El Nino. Bingo. L.A. went from bone dry to 216% above rainfall average in 4 months. You hear this? But not Jerry Brown didn't hear about that yet up in his bubble in Sacramento. He's still writing anti-global warming messages, turned off all of the fountains. Fountains are still not put on yet in all the buildings, the state buildings in California, because the drought may come back. Can you believe this? And the newspapers are still writing, although it's been raining and the snowpack is 300 feet deep, it's not the right kind of snow and it may not actually create the melt we need and we must be careful. And although most of the state is wet, some of it is still dry and the drought is not over and therefore you must... That's all. That's the story. The world is changing and they're still stuck in the past. They're like, it reminds me of the silent movie stars. The liberals who don't understand they lost are like the silent movie actors who said when the talkies came in, them talkies will never take over. Nah, nobody will go to the movies with people talking in it. They love subscripts and no talking. Well, this is what you're hearing now from the liberals. That's a good metaphor, but I love it. I doubt that it won't be stolen for less than 13 seconds. It'll be somewhere stolen by some. It'll be on another talk show within 13 hours. Yes, this is like, the Democrats are like the silent movie makers and movie stars. And they're saying that the talkies, meaning the Republicans, meaning us, meaning me, meaning the right wing, meaning the conservatives, however you want to put us, we're never going to take, no one's going to listen to us. We just won. We put a president into the White House. And here's a good sign for all of you progressives out there. Trump names FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai. You know who he is? He's the one flaming conservative on the Federal Communications Commission, FCC Commissioner. Now, it's very hard to attack him because A, he's a person of color. B, he's Indian. They don't know what to do with him. He's not a white guy, but he's a net neutrality foe. He's the next chairman of the FCC. So I know that I'm good for the next number of years here because there's going to be no attempt to curb talk radio. It's over. It's over. The whole thing of curbing talk radio, over. It's gone. One thing we got from this is freedom. We got freedom of speech. So Madonna used it to say she'd like to blow up the White House in her dreams. I use it to espouse borders, language, and culture. You make your own decision. Now, what's interesting in California is we have an attorney general named Javier Becerra. You think he's a leftist. He may be, but he's smart. California attorney general is so smart, well, he's a nominee. He's warning against suing Trump early and often because he's smart. And he knows he has to do business with the federal government. And he also knows that Trump could cut off federal funds and starve the state to death. He's a smart man, unlike the ideologues who are running Sacramento. The narcissists. Are they back yet from Washington, D.C., from the Women's March yet? All right, whatever. Let's take some calls on the program on the Savage Nation. No, I'm going to go to some sound. 855-47282 is the phone number. Okay, the actress again, Ashley Judd, the most vile, disgusting of all of them, in my estimation. Here's clip 6 of the actress Ashley Judd at the so-called Women's March.
I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America.
No, please.
Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem.
What is she, in a hot box with a bunch of girls smoking dope in like a suit bag? They must have gotten like a large suit bag and put 800,000 of them in a suit bag. What is she, crazy? This is poetry? Yes, Nobel Prize winning poetry. The Nobel Committee, pay attention. You got a winner right here. Here's the next one from this genius here. The Shakespeare of the women's movement. Listen to this, 07.
I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol.
Oh.
Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But, yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman.
No, you're not. You're just a stupid woman. A stupid, vulgar loser. Anyone listening to this show ever goes to a movie with this creature in it, do me a favor, never listen to this show again. And one other thing, if you ever scan a television, like with your clicker, and you see this creature in the movie, never watch the movie. Same with Robert De Niro. Same with all the other actors I have named who have shown themselves to be everything that they pretend not to be. Okay, here's the last one. No, not the last one. Here's the next one from this vile, stupid woman in clip 8.
And our pussies ain't for grabbing. Therefore, reminding you that our balls are stronger than America's ever will be. Our pussies are for our pleasure. They are for birthing new generations.
What is she, Allen Ginsberg?
Filthy, vulgar, nasty, proud Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh, you name it, for new generations of nasty women. So if you, a nasty woman, or you love one, who is, let me hear you say, hell yeah.
Oh, how awful.
Hell yeah!
Oh, who are these psychopaths?
Hell yeah!
Oh, you moron, you. You idiot, you. Okay, one more. Sorry, I can't resist. And if you don't know who this is, it's Athlie Jugg. In the next vile statement coming out of a filthy, deranged, psychopathic mind, listen to this one in 09.
Why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair?
I have no comment because I really prize my career. However, if we were in a bar together, I would have some really good comments for you right now that I'm sure would bring some big guffaws and a round of drinks for all. Ashley, you are on the dustbin of history. You're one of the stupidest, most vile women I've ever heard in my life. You make the word woman itself an embarrassment. You make the word feminist an embarrassment. You have just diminished the entire woman's movement. You are a disgrace to all of womanhood. That's all. Now, here's the next one. Who's America Ferrera? Does anyone know? Is that another character I never heard of? All right, let's see the next speech from the so-called Women's March in number 10.
As a woman and as a proud first generation American born to Honduran immigrants.
Oh, here we go again. Yeah.
It's been a heart-raising time to be both a woman and an immigrant in this country. Our dignity, our character, our rights have all been under attack. And a platform of hate and division assumed power yesterday.
All right, again, in the hot box. Let's go to number 11 now from this crowd of idiots.
The president is not America.
No? Yes, he is.
His cabinet is not America.
You hear this? Are you listening to this insanity?
Congress is not America.
Are you listening to this?
We America.
Are you listening to what this psychopath Big Mouth just said? The president is not America. His cabinet is not America. Congress is not America. The group of vile, disgusting women in that crowd, they're America. Are you listening to me? Do you have any idea what's going on in this country? It's a civil war. It's a civil war. What they don't understand is that there are more of us than they may imagine. And the minute we all start speaking out to them and shutting them up and letting them know that we're not going to listen to them without voicing our distaste for them, the minute you do that, you turn the tide. I told you I did it. You're going to do it. You're not going to let these big mouths, whether they be women or men, whether they be white or not white, just stand there and put down this president and this country anymore. They are not in charge. You are. You won. Now you could say, let them say what they want. They have no power. No, they don't have any power. But it doesn't mean you have to listen to their vile hatred, does it? You could get in their face. It's legal. You don't have to do anything illegal. You could meet, you could talk fire to fire. You can talk to them and say, you lost, we won. Get used to it. There's an awful lot of us. Hillary lost. She's not coming back. Just join America and stop lying about what America is. They are going crazy. They're going crazy for one reason, because they're sexists and racists, in plain English. They detest more than anything on earth straight, white, heterosexual, Christian males, of whom the cabinet is largely composed. Straight, white, heterosexual, Christian males. That's a fifer. Count them. Straight, white, heterosexual Christian males. They are heterophobes. They are Christophobes. Every kind of phobia you can imagine about individuals who hate straight, hate white, hate Christian, hate male. It's all happening in their own minds. But they lost. We won. It was an act of God. Have a nice break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right. There she goes again. Michelle Obama, the first lady of, former first lady, couldn't take the rain out there in California, so she flew on Richard Branson's private jet to Richard Branson's private island in the British Virgin Islands. A beautiful island. I was nearby last year on a boat to Richard Branson's beautiful, beautiful private island. And she flew there, of course, not coach. No, Michelle flew on the ultra-luxury Falcon 900 EX owned by Richard Branson. All legal, nothing wrong with it, perfectly fine. And he stayed behind. Yeah, he's there golfing. Now, I should mention that they stayed in the Rancho Mirage Estate. Very beautiful place, very beautiful, as you would expect from a Spanish designer and her his husband. They have the best of taste, as you well know. James Costos and his husband. It's very hard for me to get used to this. I come from another time. I always think there was like a typo. So the Obama stayed on an estate. They also flew James Costos and his husband, interior designer Michael Smith, on Air Force One. Isn't that nice how diverse he is, Obama? It's very nice that on the last flight he took James Costos, who owns the estate, the mansion. He's a Spanish ambassador, by the way, James Costos. And he has a husband. It's not a typo. A husband, the interior designer Michael Smith. And both James Costos and his husband flew on Air Force One on Obama's last junket so that the Obamas could stay in the estate of James Costos and his husband. And apparently Obama's still there while Michelle is flying off to flower power over there in the Virgin Islands. That's all. Nothing. Not a big deal. Now, why is Branson courting the Obamas? Did you know that Richard Branson is filing one of the suits that Brexit overturned because he loves democracy so much? Oh, yeah. Well, that didn't last too long, says one of the commentators. The devoted ex-first lady had 2 days with the private golfer Obama, and she bailed out to go sun alone in the Caribbean. She couldn't take him, huh? Well, his 8-year vacation was rewarded with one more vacation. They don't know how to stop. It's another freebie. Why should he pay for something when a guy... That's all. It's so refreshing, though, to read former President Obama instead of President Obama. It's so great that he's gone. Do you see what's going on? Do you see what is going on with Trump, what he's done in one day, how he's committed? I mean, the man has fulfilled his promises already. He eliminated this horrible trade deal, TPP, gone. Goodbye. Hiring freeze federal workers, told China no more taking territory in international waters, cut off funds promoting abortion overseas, met with labor leaders, unions who love him. He's now in the same day going to take on NAFTA. They're going to renegotiate NAFTA. Can you believe this? See, he's fulfilling many of his promises. Do you hear me? And that's why these protesters hate him so much, because they thought they had it all. The so-called Women's March, what were they protesting? Nobody seems to know, other than the fact that a heterosexual, white, straight, Christian male won the election. We are talking about the fact that a man named George Soros was found, secretly found, to be funding over 50 of the protest groups. While you were told it was a spontaneous march, it was not. It was a highly organized march of agitators. And that Trump has been keeping his word. He has dumped TPP. He's done so many great things the first day, and there's only so much anyone could do, but he's living up to his promises so far. And I can tell you this, I'm as analytical about him as anybody, because I'm finishing up Trump's War for publication, in which I reserve the right to be critical, positively critical, where need be. There's very little to criticize him about right now, but he's being moved to the left as fast as they can do it. And I'm talking about the McConnells. I am talking about those in the Republican Party themselves who do not like what Trump's doing. It's all in Trump's war. Here's an interesting story that I think I'll talk about tomorrow. It came up today, and it's an important one. It's a huge one. It's about unfunded pensions. California schools may face cuts amid skyrocketing pension costs. This is one of the greatest stories of our time. So I'll read you two headline pages from it. Paragraphs. Public schools around California are bracing for a crisis driven by skyrocketing worker pension costs that are expected to force districts to divert billions of dollars from classrooms into retirement accounts. Are you listening to this? So all the money that they have to buy books and stuff is going to be put into pensions, because the California Public Employees Retirement System, known as CalPERS, cannot afford to pay these particular pensions. And if this does not change, if they don't cut them, if they don't cut the pensions, they're going to have larger class sizes, stagnant worker pay, fewer counselors and librarians, less art and music, period. Because the unions busted out the schools. That's how Jerry Brown became president. By catering to the unions that run the teachers. Teachers union, very Democrat. Well, now the piper is coming home and he wants to be paid. And there's only one way to pay the piper, which is make sure the children have lousy education so the greedy Democrat workers can go home with a fat paycheck and then go into retirement while the kids learn nothing. That's all. And it's true, I'm sorry for other things. And I'm not knocking cops, firemen, teachers. I understand civil service jobs. But the fact of the matter is someone has to pay for it. And there's no way to pay for all of this. So there's solutions to it, which we'll talk about later on in the week. Right now, I want to go back to the main questions that I raised in the earlier hours of the show. And I'm going to take some of these calls right now of what you have faced since Trump won. Victor on WABC, if he's still there on line 8. Victor, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What happened to you in your family as a result of Trump winning?
Well, we've been Trump supporters since day one. We live here in the Bronx, which is mostly Democratic. So we had Trump stickers outside on our windows outside and the front lawn. We were pro-Trump all the way. So, you know, we never drank the Obama Kool-Aid all those years, but we had to keep our mouths shut and never say anything. So finally we got our guy in the White House, and our family, we have some cousins who were pro-Hillary, pro-Obama, couldn't stand Trump. I guess they were drinking their loss away of Hillary losing and after Trump's inauguration. And I get a call about 3:30 in the morning. As an Italian family, you know when the phone rings 3:30 in the morning, it's usually death behind the other line.
Yeah, it's a death job. It's an undertaker.
Right, exactly, right. So I hear cousins in the background saying,
Trump's not our president. Trump's not our president. Trump's not our president. 3 o'clock in the morning. I hang up the phone. Phone rings again. Same thing. Trump's not our president. I said, well, you know what? Trump's our president. It's my president now. And I hung up the phone. I knew it was
so that, well, that's what's going on inside your own family, this Italian family?
Yes, Italian family with cousins who are drinking the Kool-Aid on the other side. And they don't see eye to eye with us.
You know, I remember complaining about Jewish liberals many years ago in a bar. And a guy said to me, if you think Jewish liberals are bad, you don't know Irish liberals. Another guy chimed and says, no, no, you don't know Italian liberals if you think Jewish liberals are bad. So apparently it runs in a lot of ethnic groups.
Exactly. And I'm a retired NYPD detective. And it's a breath of fresh air.
Oh, so you're like the right winger in the family. Why, all the rest of them are old trade unionists, Sacco and Vanzetti types?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, the protests, they're protesting. Here I am, I'm putting my life on the line for the city of New York, and they're protesting on the other side, and I'm keeping these people safe as they're protesting.
Unbelievable. So you're still in the Bronx? You still live in the Bronx?
I still live in the Bronx in the country.
Where? What part of that borough do you live in?
Country Club. Throgneck Country Club section.
Oh, but that's not really the Bronx. That's like safe. It's like an enclave.
It's still the Bronx, but it's still a lot of Democrats here, and, you know, they poo-pooed us with Trump. But you know what? It's a breath of fresh air to have a...
Where you live? It's like you live under the Whitestone Bridge in that area?
Yeah, not too far from the Whitestone Bridge, in between the Whitestone and the Throgneck. Yeah,
and what would you say the ethnic makeup of your neighborhood is? Is it still predominantly Italian, or what is it now?
Yeah, I would say a lot of Muslims coming in. Italians are still here. Albanians, a lot of Albanians. So, you know, it's the United Nations pretty much still around here. You know, it's not all Italian the way it was.
But like the Italian food in your area, I would guess, is the old style red sauce, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So when you go, it's not like 1 ounce of veal in a veal piccata, like in California. You get a smidgen of veal. Coated with capers. They call it veal piccata. Over there, they give you slabs of meat.
You get plentiful here. If you go to
because people wouldn't eat it. They'd never go back if they didn't get a slab of meat with a heavy meal and go home gagging with their pants open. Who would go to an Italian restaurant? They come home starving to death. They need to eat a yogurt when they get home. What kind of meals are those? In the Bay Area, everything is so unbelievably skimpy. There's only one restaurant you go in where the slabs of meat are so big, you risk a coronary after you eat dinner there.
It makes no sense.
Well, that makes sense. Thanks for being a loyal listener. I keep all the old detectives alive around America. They're in Florida. They're in the Bronx. They listen to the show. They hang out. This is where they come. The insanity. That's all. So I was reading this morning talking about food. I can't only talk about Trump and Obama and this. So I go on the local newspaper. These San Francisco restaurants failed health inspections recently. So I had to click on it during the break, right? 90% of them are Asian restaurants. It's unbelievable. So they show you what they're closing them down for. I won't read the name of the restaurant because I don't want to get poisoned if I ever go in there again. Here's one. Blank Seafood Restaurant, San Bruno Avenue. Violation notes. Unclean or unsanitary food contact services. I have no idea what that means. I don't know what that means. Here's one. Coco Bang, 550 Taylor Street. Violation notes. Moderate risk of vermin infestation. I thought they were talking about the protest march. Ruby Sky, violation notes. Contaminated or adulterated food. Things like that. Who eats in these places? Here's another one. Near the water. I love this one. Like the Plant Cafe Organic, next to the water on Pier 3, violation notes, high-risk vermin infestation. You hear? When you hear organic, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get leftover vegetables that they say is perfect. It's like you go in and get me a gluten-free pizza. You come out, if you're celiac, you wind up in a hospital. What do you mean gluten-free pizza? It's almost impossible to make a gluten-free pizza. How could they even advertise that? If you ask the average person who's on a gluten-free diet, which is 90% of the fools in America, I love this story. I want to talk about it. Gluten is now the enemy of survival. For thousands of years, it was the staple of life. You read the Bible, bread is the staple of life. You look at Mesopotamia, Egypt, bread was the staple of life. Wheat saved the ancient Egyptians. It gave rise to all of civilization. Wherever you go on earth, Mexico, South America, Central America, they live on tamales made either of wheat or corn. Wherever you go in the world, the basic staple of food is something from a bread-like product, right? All of a sudden, a few hippies in San Francisco discovered that gluten is the danger to civilization. Now, it's true if you're a celiac person, gluten will cause a reaction in your body. But that is a very tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the population. But now the poor food companies have been swept up in this madness. Go in a supermarket and take a look at the gluten-free section. Everything is gluten-free. Ask the average girl who was at the march on Saturday. Excuse me, madam, this is one for James O'Keefe. I see you're buying in the gluten-free section. Oh, yes. Do you happen to know what gluten is? They don't know. They have no idea what gluten is. All I know is it's bad. It's like saying Republicans are bad. They don't know anything. It's like Trump is bad. Gluten is bad. Anything. What do you mean gluten is bad? What is gluten? Do you even know what it is? Is it a protein? Is it an amino acid? Is it an enzyme? They have no idea, but they know it's bad. And then so they're buying food, devoid of the substance of life itself. Why? See, it's trendy. Trends. Mass hysteria. Gluten-free. Okay, so you go in a restaurant, and you order a gluten-free pizza, which they can double the charge for. That's number one. Do you have any idea how they hijack you on this stuff? Would you like bread or gluten-free bread? I'll take the free bread. That's bread. Oh, the gluten-free bread is an upcharge of $4.50 in San Francisco. Did you know that? And what do you get for it? Like thin bread with nothing in it. All right, but it's probably not even gluten-free. It's mixed with regular flour. So if you are truly celiac, you're going to wind up sick anyway. Or if you order a pizza, gluten-free pizza, right. 4 days in the hospital after a gluten-free pizza here in the Bay Area. Crazy! Crazy people! Everything they do is based upon hysteria and hysteria, which is built upon more hysteria. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria going on in America. So organic now. Restaurant. The Plant Cafe Organic. Violation notes. High risk vermin infestation. You hear? Even if it's organic, it can have vermin in it. Even if it's organic, you can have somebody blowing their nose into your soup. Do you understand that? What does it mean? Oh, I see. There's John with his husband. There's Clara with her wife. There they are. They're all enjoying the cuisine of San Francisco. That makes it good because the cool people are there. And they hate Republicans. And they mock Trump. Yeah, right. Now you understand why I'm a loner. That's all. By the way, speaking of hysteria, we had record-breaking waves out here over the 20 to 30 feet between Cape St. Martin, San Martin to the south, and Point Arena to the north. If you're a boater, you know what this is? Monterey Bay, you all heard of that, right? Recorded the largest waves seen in 30 years, with the swell reaching 34.12 feet. Previous record, 32.8 feet in 08. Proves global warming is a myth. But if you ever saw these waves, you'd be frightened. I mean, you go to McClure's Beach in Point Reyes, which I used to go to a lot. I don't have the time anymore. You cannot believe these waves. They're awesome. What beautiful waves. 15 feet, 25 feet. Biggest waves we've ever seen out here. What does it mean? Nothing. It means the big waves. Big waves came in. That's all. We had a winter storm. It means if you're a moron, go surfing in a big wave. If you're a bigger idiot, take your boat out to take a picture. No one will ever see you again. It'll be one less Democrat. I'm joking. Don't do it. Not telling you to do it. But it's a beautiful thing to see that weather is weather is weather. And some things never change. Moreover, during the drought, did I tell you? How many years did I tell you? I'm like the old wise man. How many years did I tell you during the years of drought? Stop panicking. Stop being hysterical. Stop with the mass hysteria. Stop listening to Jerry Brown, who shut the fountains off. We will have wet again. Wet will come back. Wet follows dry, and dry follows wet. That is called the cycle of nature, boys and girls. That's how it works. Nature usually corrects itself. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And in a Mediterranean climate, which is what California is known for, we have 7 years of dry, generally, followed by 7 years of wet, generally. That has been gone on. That's gone on for eons. But don't tell that to Jerry Brown and the environmentalists up in Sacramento. They still have the fountain shut off and tell you not to drink water. In fact, if you go into a restaurant in San Francisco, water is optional. It's like clothing optional. What do you mean it's optional? I want a glass of water. Why don't you charge me for it? Everything they charge you for in California. You want a bag? No, I don't want a bag. I want to carry the groceries out of my head. I'm from Nigeria. Just put them on my head in the basket. What do you mean, do I want a bag? Yes, but I don't want to pay for it. Sorry, I have to pay for a bag. Everywhere you go, they uptick you on something. Why? It's a racket based on mass hysteria. You want gluten or no gluten? Give me regular. Because you give me gluten, you're going to rip me off. Okay, you see the state I live in? I love it. I love it. I would have it no other way. I'll be back in a minute to tell you what else I love right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So I'm looking at the local online newspaper. It shows like the restaurants that failed health inspections. So you see, like, now I'm up to one. The Plant Cafe Organic, Pier 3, it says, score 70, violation notes, high-risk vermin infestation. I don't know whether they mean the customers or the insects in the restaurant. I can't tell. Because you look at the pictures they took of the customers, it could be a... Anyway, you get the... I don't know. Next, the cafe, no... Here's a Vietnamese restaurant, vermin. No hand-washing facilities. Are you joking? They wash their hands in your soup. Here's a New Garden restaurant, Kearney Street, contaminated food. Ugh. My mother told me you take your life in your hands in a restaurant. She was right. I mean, this was a pretty famous joint. Here's another one. New Asia. I'll never go in there. They'll poison me or cut me up with a violation. High-risk vermin infestation. Nice, nice. Like, we always feared, like, roaches, rats. Here's another one. All the girls reaching for dim sum in a restaurant. City View Restaurant, Commercial Street. Violation, high-risk vermin infestation. Showed, like, the white girls, like, so impressed with the cart of dim sum. Oh, I'll have the gluten-free, lactose-free, salt-free, dairy-free, butter-free, food-free dim sum over there. That's the one with nothing on it, right? Yeah, that's $9 a piece. Here is an imaginary dumpling. Thank you. Just like I'm back in the first grade, playing house with imaginary food and imaginary implements. That's why I love San Francisco. Yee's Restaurant, unsanitary food cat food. Here's another one that I won't go to. Where's this joint? Powell Street Pizza and Pasta. Inadequately cleaned or sanitized food contact services. Anyone would eat food underneath a tunnel in a pizza place. What do you expect you're going to find in there? In a restaurant underneath the Stockton Street Tunnel. Golden River, Gary Boulevard, contaminated, adulterated food. That one happens to be right next to a joint I go to, but I don't go to anymore because it's too hard running across the street. Hawker Eats, let's see what they did. Unsanitary food. This doesn't mean anything to you, does it? There's plenty like this across America. Unclean hands or improper use of gloves. Why are they cracking down in San Francisco all of a sudden, all these Asian restaurants? Well, what triggered this? What, did a politician go in and get diarrhea? All of a sudden, they're attacking all these places. We all know they were filthy joints. You know you took your life in your hands. So what you do is you eat extra raw garlic, you take your crystal vitamin C, and you pray to God that you don't get diarrhea. But it tastes good. Have a nice day. It's the Savage Nation. We won. You lost. Get used to it.